Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Welcome, After Buzzers. You're watching the After Show for Succession, Season 2, Episode 2, The Vulture, where tonight we talk Vulture Gets Gutted, Shiv and Tom's Power Dynamic, and Roman's Miscalculation. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome back, After Buzzers. We are back. We got some extra panelists. So excited,
it's a
guys.
Disco. It's a party, it's a party. It's
it
Roman's
is,
party.
Right? Of course, I'm joined by my new co-host, Mr. Jeremy Dan, professor at UNC Marshall School of Business.
There you go.
Of entrepreneurship and innovation. And of course, you guys might recognize him from the Game of Thrones panel. And we're joined by Mr. Ryan Nilsson, head of Popcorn Talk. And you may recognize him from the Stranger Things panel.
Stranger Things. So happy to be here talking secession.
Yes, yes.
And of course, a tough word to pronounce.
Yeah, succession. I get like tongue-tied on it all the time. So, but of course, we've got our special segments tonight, our news, our prediction, our savage lines of the episode, and our flex moments, where we kind of look at each character and their bossed-up moments. So, flexing their power. Yeah. But, guys, let's get into it. The overall thoughts of this episode.
Overall thoughts, it continues to deliver. You know, I'm someone that binge-watched the show over the last few weeks and just really psyched about it. There was a lot of breathing space in this show after what happened with the wedding and so much emotion there and so much conflict associated with that. This one was room to breathe. I was very surprised at Shiv's. Shiv had her own miscalculations, and she was very clumsy this episode, which I did not see from her. But all in all, a really cool episode and some very twisting power dynamics.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this episode articulated how this is a horror corporate show. This is a horror show for anything business. I think it's really fun, don't get me wrong, but what used to be super funny, almost Veep-like, has now turned into something out of a Mike Myers Halloween movie.
You're just saying, don't go in there, don't go in there.
Don't go in there. Yeah. Jobs being lost at every corner. It's crazy. Yeah. And I'm loving it. It keeps surprising. It keeps delivering. One of the best shows on TV.
Yeah. For me, it was like a settled, unsettled episode where like everyone's settling into who they are and what they're doing, but you're on the edge every single time because you don't know which way they're going. And we saw a lot of that with Kendall. And so we got to talk about Vulture getting gutted. So Kendall did a little head fake. I got to ask you, Jeremy, were you confused or surprised by Kendall's head fake when he came in and he fired everyone?
Well, what's interesting about it is we heard the line at the end. I did it because my dad wanted to do it. And I think he sees a core to power, a core path to power. It's still being in the good graces of his dad. Before, it was proving I can do things differently. And I have a different viewpoint than my dad. And he is talented. He knows the most about the business. So, for instance, when that team said, oh, let's bury him in the paperwork.
Yeah, right.
That is like playing to his superpower because he is the guy that knows about KPIs. If you don't know what that is, key performance indicators. He knows about ad buy rates, click-throughs, and all that. So if you try to baffle him with too much information, he's the one guy in the show that could sort through it all. So poorly played by Walter. Well played by him when he didn't get his original goal of repurposing Walter and just tweaking it at the margins. Yeah. He pulled out victory from the jaws of defeat.
Yeah, and I personally enjoyed watching Lawrence kind of get his comeuppance. Because when he said bury them in paper, I was just like, man, they know what they're doing.
Right. I mean, up until this point, Kendall has, last season, it was just showing he knows better than his dad. Yeah. He staged two coups. He was almost successful with the second one. And what happened in the water, what happened with that car crash, not only changed him, but I also think he realized his dad knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And I know he has a strangle on him, Logan strangling Kendall, but he's going to listen to everything his dad says.
Yeah.
And at the end of last week's episode, we saw him do that where he just shows up where his friend was at and just says, yep, this is what my dad wants to be. He's just a messenger. He is a zombie for him. He is his dad's own Mike Myers. He'll go with the machete, do the dirty work, and it was they trained us to expect him to find a loophole. And even when he goes and meets up with Lawrence, it's almost like he's looking around for him. Hey, my dad wants to gut it, but I'm going to try to save it.
Yeah,
so that when he actually guts it, he actually follows through with what his dad wants. It's really surprising.
He's a skilled zombie, though.
And but I believed him. I thought he wanted to save it, was trying to find a way. And I was like, that's kind of odd. But he delivered it in a way that I was like, he's really serious about it.
He did. The knowledge that he invested so much in it, wanted to use that knowledge for good, not for evil, as in saving it, because it is a path to the future. And we heard Shiv kind of also declare that, but he said, I have the most knowledge about it. I could use it for good or for evil, so to speak. And this time, well, at least used it for Logan's purposes.
You're all free to leave. Health benefits after a month.
Over
if you tweet these videos,
people.
It's done in 3 days. I was like, what?
Yeah, Ken, I mean, he's really, I mean, to me, it's all a little bit of a loss of a soul in terms of all those people and not even really caring about how much they got or their futures.
No, it's nuts. He is, and it's all oddly him ascending back up now.
Yes.
It's a comeback, but he's dead inside, and even at the party with Greg.
Yeah, you could see that he was just, what do you call himself, a techno Gatsby? one thing about Kendall that we talked about was the imagery we've seen with him, you know, in the water, that first episode. Mm. We were left with that imagery of his dad over his shoulder at the very end. Is that a good sign? Mm. Or what do we think of that? Because you were like, oh my God, look at that imagery.
It's like the devil on your shoulder right there. Him just staring away. Yeah, you can sit in the office, get comfortable, and there's nothing on the table. Yeah. He's literally looking at a blank wall.
But he's finally above water.
And exactly. He's there. It's almost like he has the most secured position he's ever had at the company.
Yeah.
But he's a zombie at this point.
Yeah, I like that it seems that they're kind of saying, look, if you want to be in line with dad, you got to be in line with dad. Don't try to distinguish yourself. Don't try to be different. Kind of find a way to fall in line, but also do it at a high level.
And he did what his brother recommended. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. What were you going to say?
Oh, I just say he'd have to bide his time. Like, look, all he knows right now is he's being protected from the manslaughter. So he has no basis underneath him. And now he has a little bit of basis. And by the way, that little bit of basis won him a lot of points, as in now he's where the action is on the takeover defense. So there was a big U-turn in this episode, probably not fully back.
Yeah, which for me kind of makes me really uneasy about Logan, because I just don't know what's going on in his head. Do you have any uneasiness about what Logan's moves are? Or as a person in business, are his moves making sense for you?
Well, the most important thing for Logan is these are his chess pieces and his chessboard, and he's in control. So he, I think, has paid lip service to some of the modernization things, but we hear, again, we have a factory making, what did they say, microwaves in the Philippines or something. He wants to double down or triple down on local news stations. We get the notion he likes, in terms of business parlance, you know, quicker cash flow and quicker earnings. So he likes things that are going to pay him back quickly, not investments that are going to pay you back 3 to 5 years from now. He's getting that, and he has the skill to do it, and he knows that business. So he's playing to his strengths, not the potential strengths of the future of the media business. Now, what he does say is we want to get huge again and then be about the future, which might be an okay strategy if all these other things are undervalued.
And I know in the first season, we were a little worried about Shiv last week. The focus was on Kendall season one. And now that it's a little bit more on Shiv, he might, you know, double cross her. And she had a lot going on this episode as well. But I think what's interesting with Kendall is no longer that power hungry. I think he is deep down inside, but he's realizing he literally has to do whatever his dad wants to get on that good side. And just going back to, we keep saying the word zombie. We keep saying the word like he has no feeling. There were a lot of unique moments in this episode that really showed that, including, like you commented on, he is a motorcyclist driving around, which might be because he's not a fan of limos anymore because he got stuck in traffic last season. But I think it's also just because he wants to feel something. I think the reason he stole those batteries at the end of the episode was just to do it, and also to just feel the rush of, I might get in trouble for this.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have any feeling left.
And that's
when
kind
his
of,
daughter hugged him.
Yeah.
He was nothing.
And that's sort of kind of why he's using those drugs, and that's what we see. And he certainly needed to feel something after that one scene and getting kind of reamed out in the boardroom.
Oh.
But Kendall's so fascinating, but I think we want to hear from you guys and the viewers. So I think Ryan's got a couple words about joining us.
Yes, I do. Guys, thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. We all love you when you're in the chat, commenting on our videos. It makes us really enjoy what we want to do. So please hit that subscribe button, hit that like, the thumbs up button, and comment your thoughts. We'll shout you out on air. Go on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. And if you do leave a comment on iTunes, we'll shout you out in next week's episode.
We need those media metrics so we don't end up like Valter. Yeah, we can't be shut down by corporate.
Yes.
Don't end up like Valter.
No fake numbers here. Come on, guys. We need some help.
No fake numbers.
Now we got to talk about Tom and Siv's power dynamic.
Mm.
I just love watching it morph because it seemed like he was really about them being a power couple and maybe not so much now. What was your take on Tom's reaction to Siv revealing the news that she was going to be next in line?
What's really interesting is... it's amazing Tom ever thought he was in line, so to speak. Yeah. I mean, so right there, he's been given his job first in the parks, now in some role in the news division. He is somewhat skilled. He does have some skills. He's like caught halfway between Roman and I think Kendall in the way he plays. He does realize the importance of cutting the, you know, making the news division more efficient. And he's probably identified a really interesting area there for them again, because the Logan Roy news division, you could tell they'd be the kind of thing with people running to a warehouse however many blocks away. So he's probably feeling his, you know, what they call it, feeling his oats a little bit by being in a strengthened position. And I thought he probably really turned himself on when he told Shiv to F off.
Yeah,
I really like that dynamic for him.
It's
because
different.
She had totally demeaned him from everything, from like essentially saying, I want to be a swinger and you could kind of hang out.
I got a sense every episode before this, I feel like Tom knew his place. And that's what was really funny about him, was he knew he was nothing compared to Shiv's brothers or anyone in the family. He knew he was the outsider guy. But now we're post-wedding, we're post-honeymoon. Honeymoon phase is over. And this episode, there was a major vibe of, even when he was meeting with the woman who's the head of the news, she's like, were any of those people after every 4 years that come in, were they
the son-in-law?
Logan's brother? Yeah, son-in-law. He is totally power hungry now.
Well, because he feels he has a little stronger base. Remember, he used his takedowns on like Greg, for instance, and then we've seen him use it on other people. I mean, I forget if it was Kitchen Help or other. I mean, the wine. Remember the wine power play, and now finally he did a little bit of a power play up.
And he's close. He's close. You know, so he's feeling it
totally. But he's too power hungry. And even when Shiv shared that, I honestly didn't expect him to react that way. I think their love is real. I know they've had a messy past, but that moment at the end of the first season, I thought was super genuine. I think they have a really good relationship. But when he shared that, those were cracks. He was not comfortable. That was the biggest biting my tongue scene where he is just like, I'm happy for you.
If you would hide it a lot better, right? You at least hide it better. Like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Which made that so interesting towards the middle where she shares the two options of either being the chief of staff, was it?
Yeah.
And then, or, you know, inheriting the company. And he straight up just said, examine your options, which is, she doesn't do that at all.
Whenever you start to have that discussion too early, it never pays off, does it? Like in the world of dating, when you go, oh, this one person is really smart and nice, the other one is really beautiful, I can't decide which one, you probably get the phone call the next night. They both, neither of them want to date you. And that's exactly what's happened to her.
So funny.
But a question for you, Jeremy. When she asked him for that advice, do you think that she was genuine or she wanted to make Tom feel useful?
I actually think she was genuine. Remember, this is someone that's probably been courted by very, very accomplished people and found something in him. You know, he's probably moderately successful in business, but I have a feeling almost everything he has, he owes to that family. But it's some dynamic of her being very comfortable with him and that sharing, that maybe she didn't find him threatening in that way and could share more.
Yeah.
And now that's her crutch, or in a way, you just call it, that's her relationship. That's actually a good thing. And when a character in this show has a good thing, it looks like maybe a sign of weakness. Maybe it could be a source of strength for her.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting. They have this is a new major crack in the relationship. I can't believe Tom ever thought he had a shot at actually inheriting the company.
Over the other side.
Maybe it's because now he thinks that the relationship with Kendall is unrepairable. And
Roman seems like the party boy.
Yeah, but even they had lunch, they had dinner with Roman, and I got a sense that still Roman doesn't think Tom's anything.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like that the family really thinks he's anything too. So it's just really naive of him to even think he had a shot at that. I think
maybe he
believes Shiv didn't want it.
Yeah.
But Shiv does want it.
Yeah. It may be our dark horse. Who knows? But another interesting part of that power play was Shiv's, not the power play, but Shiv's conversation with her dad, Logan. And we saw, I guess sort of Logan's misogynistic ways a little bit about, you know, how long she would have to take to be in management. What did you guys think about, A, that conversation? And is that Logan's genuine concern regarding Shiv? Is Logan just stuck in the past when it comes to her?
Yes. No, I do think, look, it was a very great scene in the previous episode where, you know, she was tearing up and she essentially said, this is all I ever wanted.
Yeah.
She didn't mean the company. She meant, like, the belief of her father in her.
Right.
And now she hears, oh, you'll be on a 4-year rotation program. Essentially, if you added up all those months, I think it was about 4 years. That is really long in the corporate world for something like this. It's not like she's been a, you know, poetry postdoc.
Yeah.
She's been in political analysis. She's acquainted with the news. She impressed him with her knowledge of the dynamics of the business and the potential strategies. And then he's saying 4 years. That is a long time for succession.
Which when Kendall was about to get it.
Well, he's been there a decade or two. Yeah. He's been there 15, 18 years.
It's just crazy to think. And she knows that his mind can change on the flick of a dime. So the promise of 3 years and then you inherit it is such an empty promise to begin with. And it's so untimely. She wants it right now.
And by the way, they had referred to, you know, you send people to your outposts in other countries when you want to diminish them. And he said, oh, yeah, you'll go to Berlin. You'll do this. And she read that as immediately.
Right away. So, but do we think it was genuine? Does he want that training? Or is he thinking to himself, I'm going to use this to maneuver her around and maybe do something different?
I do think, like, look, I thought it was a legit move and an emotional father-daughter move when they did that a couple episodes ago. Now I'm viewing it more as a maneuver.
Yeah.
That, you know, he can juggle his three kids and have them try to climb over each other. And he was able to do that this last episode, and now she's gotten climbed over. So I'm viewing it a little more as a move, because, you know, she did the solid by him to get the presidential candidate off the case.
Yeah.
And then to be able to clear the way for the purchase of the stations, I think, is a part of that power dynamic. And so she had checked off 3 or 4 things for him. Now it's time for her to want it more and work harder.
Yeah, and Shiv does seem to also kind of be taking on this role. It seems to give her a little bit of an ego boost now that she's got this, or potentially in the back pocket. And I love the exchange she had with Nate, the guy she had the affair with. What did you think about that exchange?
Oh, well, Nate is... I don't really know what's going to become of that character. She's obviously was trying to weed him out, but then we get that final scene where handshake, and then you want to wipe that off, and immediately she's done.
Yeah.
Which we were pretty shocked by. I just didn't think it was going to happen this quickly. I thought this was a season arc.
And that was the plan was to actually not be fired or quit, but was to sort of support, like, be in the weeds, in the background,
the
kind
options,
of helping.
Yeah. Right.
Which
he kind
of got for a moment there, and then she went too far.
It was actually, you know, we talked about, we all have a lot of respect for the writing on this show. I thought that was one that played out too quickly, even if you had a scene in the middle of the episode setting something up. But I do think it would have been better as a slower burn, where it took 3 or 4 episodes for her to be undermined in the campaign.
I just don't know where it's going to go.
Even a couple more scenes. I mean, you know, I'm still confused. So we got to, like, talk this out a little bit. So she goes in that car and she makes a joke, and then he gets upset and she kind of says, let me pull back. And they seem to agree, but then she decides to go further and say, I really don't want this. Did she make that decision on the fly, or was she always planning not to be a part of the campaign? Or was she going to take Tom's advice and try to kind of pull back?
And they were also referencing who they just met with and how he was like, I took your advice. We just went there.
Yeah.
I felt like we missed something there, or maybe I'm missing something. That was a little confusing for me, but now she is left with, okay, either I follow my dad's plan. It's a 3-year plan. It's probably not going to happen. You're not going to get the company. And now I don't even have the chief of staff option.
Yeah. I think at the beginning of this episode, she probably thought, I'm 1.5 years to being CEO of this company, or 1.5 years to being chief of staff of the White House. Yeah. And now she's, like, talking about being an intern in Berlin.
Yeah. So did Shiv just lose her mind there? Miscalculation on her part?
miscalculation
on her part.
I think
nothing savvy here. This wasn't some savvy play. We'll see later.
Well, that it actually might have been just Logan's play because he, I think, put the idea in her mind. Inception, that that she could be the CEO of the company, and now she's using that as leverage with the chief of staff option. I think he just gave her that to make her ruin the chief of staff option.
So, I was going to say poor leverage because she didn't leverage it. It's gone. Right. Gone.
But Logan certainly did not know about that.
Yeah, right?
He didn't know about that, but he knew that she was a part, she's affiliated with that candidate. Mm. She's mentioned it to him. She's used that as leverage against him in the past.
Yeah.
This, I think, was just a clever move on his part to get her to screw that up.
Okay.
It's a deep, it's a deep like move. I don't know if he had that all planned out, but I think he knows her the best.
Yeah.
And knew that maybe she would stumble on the way.
I don't know, because she's so strong this episode till that last scene, but we'll see. But we got to talk about Roman's miscalculation. Again, this character started so strong in the beginning of this episode. I almost thought maybe Dad was going to give it to him. What did we think about, Roman kind of stepping up to the plate, and then Roman faltering towards the end?
Well, Roman cannot read the room and does not know the second and third layer of the power dynamics that are going on. No. So when he says to Shiv, like, if they were to name a successor today, it would be me. And she's grinning and nodding and loving that. So he does not know how to read the room in any way. Almost everyone in this show knows how to read that at a different level.
Yeah.
Now, he was savvy to use his skills. He's a party boy. Yeah. He used his party boy skills to have some beers, get some people snockered, got some underlying evidence and knowledge about the company, and it led to their main... Yeah. Strategy. He in that one meeting, that was his like sharpest, 30 seconds on the show, so to speak. So he played that well, but he does not have the skills to deliver after that. So he got, at happy hour, he got 10 good pieces of knowledge and then wouldn't know the next two steps to what to do with them. But Kendall obviously really would.
Well, when they act on his idea in that meeting at the dinner with Connor that night, he's venting to Tabitha about, they're actually following my advice, and I don't know if it's right. He's second-guessing everything. So, and everyone on the show thinks of him as an idiot, as a fool, but I don't think he is one. But the fact that he would second-guess something that he was so adamant about means that he just doesn't have any confidence in what he actually wants to pitch. So that can't be a good CEO.
I do think he is one. I think he's someone that probably... has silver spooned it, has not worked hard enough in school, worked hard enough on his rotations. He's COO of a company, rushed a satellite launch to have it on his sister's wedding day. He doesn't have the good, I think he has some talents, but didn't do the hard work to develop them.
He wants it handed to him. It's the silver spoon. You're absolutely right. Good instincts. Completely agree.
But Kendall's got the skill set to drill down and figure out what's actually going on.
Oh my gosh. And at the end of this episode, now that Kendall carried out what his idea was.
Yeah.
I think he was even happy when Logan was like, Kendall, you're carrying this out.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, better yet. Now my brother gets to destroy the one thing that he brought to the company.
Yeah.
And it
Roman was definitely happy about it.
Roman was psyched.
And then he was going to be put on the proxy team.
He's like, by the way, Kendall's staying in my office.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Go, boy. He says, bye-bye, boy. Like, it was so demeaning for Logan.
And almost out of nowhere, because it just seems like that idea didn't elevate Roman at all in Logan's eyes.
Right.
So he's got a lot of work to do. But, of course, let's get to our special segments. Let's start off with our news.
Our news, okay.
AfterBuzz TV News.
News today, gentlemen. First off, just going through some numbers for views. So last week's season 2 premiere of Succession got 1.2 million views, which is up 32% from last season. And those sound like high numbers.
This after show is doing really well. I didn't know we got so many views.
Talking about the episode on HBO. But basically, it sounds good. Comparatively to the other shows on HBO, it's not. You're talking like Big Little Lies, that's a show that would generate 5.4 every episode as a minimum. If you're going expanding beyond the premium network, something like Big Bang Theory will get 19.2 or somewhere between 19 and 17 million. So 1.2 is pretty low. It's better. It's catching some gravity. I think this is the best show on TV that not many people are watching, and I really hope it generates some more steam. So just an update on that news-wise. Just to put that in more perspective, a show like Yellowstone, not not that big a show.
Yeah.
Paramount Network, that got 5.4 on its season 2 premiere. That's a small show.
We need some more, guys.
We need some more. I really hope. I think it's going to get more and more popular as these reviews and the Emmys come out, because it did get a lot of Emmy love this year.
Yeah.
So I think if it gets some wins there, it's really going to boost it up. That happened with Newsroom season 2.
Yeah.
Barely anyone was watching, got the Emmy noms, got season 3. So there's that update. And I'm going to throw it to Jeremy Dan for some more real-world news involving Viacom.
This is, real-world business stuff. So when the show first started, I was thinking about it both in terms of, look, there are a lot of parallels with Fox, and everyone talks about the parallels with the Murdoch family. But there were also parallels with the Redstone family. If you're not familiar with them, you've maybe heard of Viacom. Maybe you haven't heard of Viacom. But this was a mega media giant of the 80s, 90s, into the 2000s, has broken apart into some of its component pieces. You might know the names MTV, Nickelodeon, Paramount, CBS. Well, the patriarch, Sumner Redstone, of that family has been incapacitated for years, and they had shareholder struggles all around that. But just this week, his daughter, Sherry, helped bring together a re-merger with a lot of the assets from the old Viacom.
Wow.
So merging with CBS. This has all been happening in the last week.
Right,
so we're seeing shareholder action in the real world of media. You know, Warner owns HBO. These guys own Showtime. This is a big player. And them brought together puts it on par with the Disneys, the Foxes, and the Warners again, I believe, yeah.
I wonder, because I remember Sumner Redstone, didn't he have the public spat with Tom Cruise many years ago?
Public spat?
Yeah, I think they had some sort of public spat.
Wow.
So I wonder if we'll see something that, like, on this show that kind of mirrors that.
Yeah. I was just looking in the chat real quick. We do have someone in the chat, Leah G. I don't think this is referring to Shiv, just unless we wrapped up on news real quick, I believe.
I'm done.
Yeah. We're done. That was awesome. He was just referring to Shiv. I don't think it's a miscalculation. She thinks it's her time. She's betting on herself. And since her father is not to be trusted, she thinks she has to move before her dad changes his mind.
Interesting.
So that could be the tactic, but I think that's what bit her this episode.
But if that's the tactic, then she really doesn't respect Tom at all. Because then she just was like, oh, yeah, I'll pretend that was good advice, but I'm not going to take it.
Right. But she should have held the potential chief of staff thing over her father then and said, look, you can't put me on the internship program.
Yeah. For a couple weeks or months longer. Like, she didn't have to make a decision right now.
We're talking about a one-year glide path, not a four-year glide path. Because I could become chief of staff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well,
but good point. It's a good point. It's a good point. Other special segments?
Of course, we have our Savage line. So I think that speaks for itself. What Savage line did you have from this episode, Ryan?
Right. So, I mean, the dialogue in this show, as always, is
amazing.
So savage. It's amazing. There are some brutal insults.
Yes.
Like, some on par with Veep, I think. And a lot just pretty real world. Roman usually has a few. My most savage line of this episode came at the dinner between Shiv and Tom with Roman and, what is her name, Tabitha. Which Tabitha we know
from the bachelor party.
From the bachelor party. Mm. Has history with Tom.
Mm.
And I believe there was a moment where Roman says, hey, Shiv, can we just talk about something real quick? And they go into the other room. And we know Tom has a cold. He's feeling a little under the weather. They mention that right up top when they enter the room. And Tabitha goes, oh, you should try swallowing something.
Ooh. Like honey.
Honey. Which was in reference to what happened at the bachelor party. So that was probably my most savage line.
How about you?
I loved the scene where Tom, at first it was all giggles and rainbows with the head of the news division. Then they get into the office. And she said, I'm not used to be, or, you know, our viewers don't want to be patronized by, what was it, latte-sipping douchebags with $100 haircuts? That was some good stuff. But I also just liked the savage line, because sometimes the savageness comes through the simplicity. And if I may, am I allowed to curse?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just when they called him you look like a divorce attorney from the Twin Cities. And he walks, he has an agricultural kind of walk. And he just said, hey, Shiv. Fuck off.
Wow.
And I'm savage in its simplicity.
Yeah.
Pretty savage. Do you want Shaka?
Oh, of course. I loved when Roman, because Kendall really did look like mortified in that scene in the boardroom. And then Roman said, he just emptied the contents of his scrotum at dad's feet.
Oh my gosh.
That was
gosh.
One of my favorite lines. Oh, and we actually have an audio for that. That's great.
Yikes.
And of course, we got to get to our next segment, which is our flex moments. Inspired by Ryan Nilsson, inspired by my Instagram name, Shaka Strong.
Shaka Strong, what was your flex moment?
What was my flex moment? I think it was another simple moment from Tom, where he's in the meeting with the ATN lady, with Sid, and he says, thanks and fuck you.
That was
my favorite.
That's a pretty good one.
Good, nice.
Oh, yeah, right when they were leaving. Yeah. That was, he can say that and not get in trouble for it. Mine was right at the end when Kendall delivers the news. Like, oh, yeah, you're all getting laid off. You're all fired. Pack your things. Get out. You have 15 minutes. And while that's all happening, it's mayhem. It's pandemonium. Everyone doesn't know what's going on. The people ushering others out. And I think on the way out, one of the employees of Vulture just goes up, spits in his face. He doesn't move a muscle. Not even a reaction. Like, it didn't, it just hit him.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, is that all you got?
Yeah. That was actually a
flex.
Co-signing that one.
Crazy.
Yeah. His dad would respect that. He just got the cupo piss thrown on him.
Yeah.
If he hasn't reacted to the spit, he'd have a lot of respect for that.
Crazy.
My power move was, again, just the flip side of that, the meeting. Roman making his power play with the, gut it, and then being so happy that Kendall was put in charge of that. He has not been, first of all, Roman does not know so much of what's going behind the scenes, the dynamic with the father and everything else, but just knows kind of in the terms of hanging out in the living room and who's getting to play with whose toy and all that, and who dad's sending to bed early. He won that meeting.
Yeah.
Gut it. And then have your brother put in charge of the gutting. I mean, that was a power play. He felt great about it.
And that's like one of those moments you want to just encapsulate for Roman. Because like, hey, you won. You did it right.
Remember what it's like. It's going to be your best moment for probably the next 6 episodes.
No, I really hope he acquits himself well. But I guess we'll talk about our predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
The light reminds me of the party, the bachelor party.
Yeah, it's very apropos.
Every party is a reminder of the bachelor party.
Who's the techno Gatsby? What are your predictions?
I'm not going to steal yours because you have an amazing one in reference to Connor's girlfriend. But just a little tease there. I predict that I don't think we're done with Shiv. I think, she calls Logan at the end saying, all right, Dad, when do we start? And he's pretty nonchalant about it. Oh, yeah, come in tonight. I think Shiv doesn't realize quite yet how her options have just kind of evaporated. So I think we're going to see the downward spiral for Shiv a lot sooner than I thought. Last year with Kendall, it happened a little later in the season. It was like episode 4 and then the finale. I think this is happening next episode. It's going to hit her hard and realize, oh, I'm not in a great position, and really downward spiral. So I think we're going to see downward spiral for Shiv. I also think that Greg is just getting a lot of things handed to him, seemingly. I think that something's going to go on with Greg and Kendall. I think maybe Greg's going to be Kendall's crutch for maybe his only friend for the remainder of the season. And I think Kendall is on his ascension. So I think, Kendall's going to rise. Shiv's going to fall.
Mm.
I think Willa is about to become the toast of New York.
Yes.
With her play.
Yeah.
Her play is going to be about this family.
Mm,
we saw her writing late at night in England with the glow of the laptop as she had observed so many things. And the family is playing stupid with her. No, has anyone said a good thing to her? They treat her
like an escort.
Yeah,
exactly. And she has so much material, but she was, it's not like they kind of treat her at arm's length. She was in the room at the stink house when they were talking about all of their future moves with the company.
Yeah.
She's seen it all. She's going to write it up in the play, and she's going to be famous in the next couple of episodes.
I love that so much.
I definitely believe that. I don't know. I think Shiv has a play because that scene didn't make sense to me. Where she quickly went from, playing the background to like getting fired. So I think she's got a play that it's got to play out probably next episode. So I think Shiv's going to be, I don't see her letting go of this. And I think she's going to kind of be on par. She'll still remain in that first to second place, and it'll be a battle.
Do you think she's going to get back with the campaign in some way, or
no,
back with the company?
Yeah, I think she's got to play for that company, and this somehow played into that. Don't know how yet.
Can I ask you a question real quick? Do you think, this just popped in my head, the, I'm blanking on the man's name, but the guy she was sleeping with Nate, on the camp, Nate. Do you think she's going to use that over his head and have him sabotage the campaign? Because he threatens her. He's like, you don't share that. My wife doesn't know.
Shiv is going to use everything at her disposal. I think we're going to see Shiv really be focused and really be calculating. What I don't think we'll see is the coldness that Kendall has. I think Kendall will be more ruthless than Shiv, and he may go too far. And that'll be something. But I think they're going to both be like gunning for this, and I think Kendall's going to go too far. And then my last prediction was, I think Greg might be Kendall's undoing. Because the way he's riding this dude already, and I think you're going to see that Greg might get fed up, and whatever secrets he's got, he might eventually, towards the end of the season, release. Those are my sort of like... But just the way that Greg is already like, what's happening here, and Kendall's abusing him, I don't think he's going to take that abuse for too long, but he'll take it for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think Greg... There's something going on with Greg. There's no reason to have him in the show as just a joke, really. Yeah. Season one, he was a comic relief. He was someone for Tom to play off of. But now he has ideas. Like, he does Tom's work, but he finds the 50 people to just cut.
Yeah.
Get rid of them. 50 skulls. And yeah, Kendall gives him an apartment.
Yeah.
And to have parties at.
And I think we know that Kendall wants to keep him close for a reason, but I think Greg's going to know so much, and he'll be abused, and he'll do something. He'll
get,
so.
Next prediction, maybe. Maybe it's a little too early. He'll get his grandfather's seat on the board.
Whoa.
Oh,
my goodness. Okay.
Guys, we got so much to talk about. But thank you guys for joining us. My name is Shaka Smith. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
I'm Jeremy Dan. Please don't try to find me.
Wow. I'm Ryan Nilsson. You can find me at Ryan Nilsson, N-I-L-S-E-N underscore, at Ryan Nilsson underscore on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks for watching, guys.
Thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.